You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, together in Pittsburgh, all in for less than $5 million. It's Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. The men's and women's brackets are out. You can fill them out with us here at ESPN. It is free. It is easy. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app. You can fill out up to 25 men's and 25 women's brackets for your chance to win. You can create and join groups online, compete against other people, friends, family, whatever it may be, and us on ESPN Radio with the men's and women's groups. You can play against us. The app also makes it easy to share your champion and Final Four picks across all of your social media platforms, and it provides great info if you want to do a deeper dive on a team-by-team preview, expert analysis, historical tournament data to help you win and build a winning bracket, all with the Tournament Challenge. Let's go, ESPN Tournament Challenge app. Over 5 million people have already joined. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, close to 6 million people.
Yeah. What is our goal? Do we know what our goal is in terms of number of people? Because we need to get there. Whatever the goal is.
It's got to be double-digit millions. Well into the double digits.
Yeah. And by the way, for all the great people out there that are listening to Unsportsmanlike, thank you, and watching on ESPN2, once you fill it out, tweet us a screenshot. Why not? At UnsportsESPN. Let's see what you got here. Let's see your screenshot of your Final Four. Send it to us so we have it.
How many brackets do you guys fill out?
I think you have to do three brackets.
Three?
Three brackets, yeah.
Okay, take us through this.
Like, one is just your gut, like vibes only type of bracket. The second one is like when you do a little bit of a deep dive in terms of the matchups and all of that stuff. And then the third one is the YOLO bracket. Like, you're just going for it. The YOLO bracket.
YOLO.
YOLO bracket. Yeah. Like all of the upsets that you want to see. Like just the bracket just going mad, just craziness.
So that's different than vibes. YOLO is different than vibes?
YOLO is different than vibes. Okay. Like vibes is like who I think will win.
Got it.
You know, and then it's like the second one is the matchups, and then the third one is just like mayhem. Like mayhem, like just
Cinderella's
all the way through. Love like it. 16 seed making it to the Final Four, that kind of thing.
Evan?
One.
That's one. It.
One. I'm using the same one for every. I will sit down, I will fill it out, and I will use it for every one of the ones I'm in.
That's not fun at all.
I mean, you're going to change it every time, then you're going to claim, oh, I got that right. Well, if I do 100 brackets, then of course I got it right. But I'm going to do one. I'm going to commit to the one. I'll enter it here with the ESPN Tournament Challenge, with our show and with all of ESPN Radio and my family. We do the four of us. We'll do the brackets against each other. And that's it. Just one. And then I got a father-son thing coming up that I haven't even told my son about that some of his friends are doing.
That's kind of weak, actually. I'm disappointed in you.
Well, only
just
one?
Just one bracket.
Yeah, I do two, the head and the heart.
There you go. I like it.
Good song. Head and Heart. It's forgot who sings it.
Good band, too.
Yeah. I'm not familiar with it.
But don't you have, Evan, you have to do one where you pick Wisconsin winning, no?
Not if I don't think they're going to win.
But what if they do win and you don't pick your team?
Well, then I win anyway. What's the difference? By the way, they're playing in Brooklyn.
I know. I might go.
But they're playing at 9:40 p.m. Eastern on Friday night.
Oh, no shot you're
there's
going to that.
There's no chance
no
I'm going,
going to
that
game.
No way am I going to that.
He couldn't get
Wisconsin.
No
there's
shot.
No way. That is like hours after my bedtime. Are you kidding me?
You'll be dialed in from the couch.
I'll be asleep. Are you kidding me? 9:40?
Oh, God. Saturday morning. Big grocery shopping day for you.
Yeah. Well, I also the Dynasty. But now that it's over with the Patriots documentary, we'll go back to grocery shopping.
Gotcha.
I appreciate the concern for my Saturday mornings at 6 a.m. Eastern time. All right, we mentioned Justin Fields is a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers. It is remarkable, regardless of result, when you think about the fact that they had, last year, Kenny Pickett, Mitch Trubisky, Mason Rudolph. That was their 1, 2, and 3 at the quarterback position.
What a crew.
Right? And now they are sitting there with Russell Wilson and Justin Fields at less than $5 million, if I'm not mistaken, or right around $5 to $6 million all in, okay? It is one of the most remarkable turnarounds of a singular position group maybe we've ever seen in this sport. And that is not to say that Russell Wilson is the same player he once was or that Justin Fields has the same hope as he once had. But But when you do the point counterpoint of what we thought they were going to be versus what they are, it is remarkable what the Steelers have pulled off here.
So they're doing it with their quarterback room, their top two guys, taking up less than $4.5 million on their salary cap.
That's crazy.
That's what we're talking about. Justin Fields is getting $3.2 million. Russell Wilson's getting $1.2 million.
Shrewd moves by Pittsburgh.
Outstanding moves by Pittsburgh. I mean, this is all upside.
Yep.
I mean, I understand that they promised Russell Wilson a starting job, but if Justin Fields throughout the remainder of the offseason on into training camp outperforms him, who's to say that they can't pull the plug on Russ and go with Justin Fields? They have nothing invested in Russ beyond this year. And even if they cut their losses, it's $1.2 million. That's nothing for an NFL team. So I just think that this is a huge, huge win for Mike Tomlin. He finally guarantees himself competent quarterback play, no matter who the guy is. If it ends up being Russ, that's great. If it ends up being Justin Fields, okay, cool. Now, here's the beauty in terms of the level of investment that they've made. It doesn't preclude them from adding a young quarterback either in this year's draft or in next year's draft. So they have plenty of options, plenty of flexibility in terms of being able to figure out who their long-term quarterback is. I say this all the time, but in the NFL, it's like lotto tickets. You want to have as many as you possibly can to guarantee yourself an opportunity to win. And that's essentially what the Pittsburgh Steelers are doing with the most important position in all of team sports.
You're also getting two guys who desperately need to prove themselves and desperately need to start over. You're getting two guys that should be incredibly hungry to buy in to the Pittsburgh Steelers and your philosophy. Not like it's hard for Mike Tomlin to get guys to do that anyway, but these two guys are coming to a place that they both want to be and a place where they're both viewing as an opportunity for them to hit the reset button and show what they can do. And even though they said Russell Wilson's the starter, which I think was very smart at the outset to quell any potential quarterback controversy, that doesn't mean he has to start the entirety of the season.
No doubt.
He's going to get there. He's going to get his opportunity. And if he doesn't take it and run with it, you've got a guy in Justin Fields who you know can certainly run with it.
This is all-time flexibility at the quarterback position. We've never seen something like this. That doesn't mean you'd rather have their situation than the Chiefs or the Bills or, you know, any other, Cincinnati. We're not saying that. But this is all-time flexibility where you have two guys that are both playable for 17 games. They are. They have proven to be playable. That doesn't mean they're going to be Hall of Fame level, but they're playable. You could draft a quarterback in the first round and not kill your cap. You could be in the mix, theoretically. If there is a team that falls out of it, that has a good veteran quarterback, and your guys are kind of fine, you could, if you wanted to trade for Dak Prescott, theoretically, there's ways you could pull that off. You know what I'm saying? Like, the flexibility that Pittsburgh has is unbelievable. And a message to all of those people out there that hate on Mike Tomlin. He's the reason you could do this. He's the reason you could pull this off. He's the reason that Russell Wilson's like, make me into whatever you want to make me into. He's the reason that when all the reports are out there that other teams are interested in Justin Fields and he's saying, no, I want to be a backup for that guy. You could sit there and say, what has he done? He's 9-8. He gets the playoffs. 10-7 gets the playoffs. This is what he's done. He allows for players to walk in there and want to be a part of that team, and maybe they'll win the Super Bowl, maybe they won't. They're always going to be competitive, and he always gives you a chance.
You know, I also want to give credit in all of this, the owner, Art Rooney II, because he said at the outset of this offseason, we're tired of getting bounced in the wild card round of the playoffs. We're tired of being one and done. Mm-hmm. We're going to get aggressive this offseason. This is getting aggressive. Even though the investment overall is not that great, this is the Pittsburgh Steelers being aggressive. We've got an option in Russell Wilson, who we've seen play really good football at times throughout the course of his career. We've got a guy in Justin Fields that's looking for a reset but has huge upside from a talent standpoint. He might be able to see eye to eye if he develops properly with the other quarterbacks in our division. Like that. Like, I love the fact that they are being aggressive in getting this done. The only thing that I can't figure as we're sitting here today, Smalls, is how this changes my outlook on what the Pittsburgh Steelers season will be. Because I'm not sure that it ends up changing anything materially when it comes to what they can do once they get into the playoffs. I don't know that this makes them a team that's poised to go on a deep playoff run. And that is ultimately the goal. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what they've told us they want to do. I don't know that these moves move them closer to that. They got better quarterback play, undoubtedly so. But based on what that division is, based on what we're expecting the Cincinnati Bengals to be, what we saw the Cleveland Browns to be based on their defense, what we saw the Baltimore Ravens, I don't know that this moves them closer to a team that's poised to go to a divisional round or a conference championship game.
I hear what you're saying because the division is absolutely brutal. But I guess for me, it just depends on which version of these guys, specifically Russ, we see early on.
Is it Russ or like, I guess that's my point. Like, if I were to tell you the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to get to the conference championship game, does it have to be Russell Wilson or does it have to be this organization hitting on Justin Fields?
In your mind, the second one, I believe. For you and the way that you've thought
about
that.
I think it is.
I think I'm trending that way, too.
I think it is.
For me, it's Russ. For you guys, I think it's Fields, right? Yeah. I think it's all, like, kind of beauty in the eye of the beholder. If I told you they went 11-6 this year with Russ, you'd say, nice improvement. Heading in the right direction. First or second round loss. If I told you they went 11-6 with Fields, what are you going to tell me? They have a chance at the conference championship.
No doubt about it.
That's your opinion.
No question. Like, I'm just sitting here saying today, like, if the Pittsburgh Steelers are in the conference championship game, who's going to be the quarterback that gets them there? I just think it would have to be the upside of Justin Fields versus where Russell Wilson is at in this stage in his career. And that's just the reality of life in the NFL, right?
Sure.
Like, as you get older, you start to lose some of your physical attributes. Like, there are limitations to what Russell Wilson is now as opposed to what we saw 5 years ago. And I think we saw that kind of play itself out the last 2 years in Denver. Whereas with Justin Fields, we're giving him the benefit of the doubt because Chicago was so dysfunctional.
Sure.
We've all seen the highlight level plays. We know that if somebody can harness that physical ability, you're going to have something really special. And that's why I would say if the Pittsburgh Steelers get to where Mike Tomlin thinks this team is capable of going and getting to the conference championship game or getting to a Super Bowl, it would have to be Justin Fields. Based on the other quarterbacks that you're going to have to go head-to-head with in the AFC, I would say that it had to be Fields that would get him there, not Russ.
So if you had to bet on it right now, you don't think Russ will be the starter for the entirety of the season?
No, I don't. And here's the crazy thing. The odds in Vegas bear themselves out. Like if Vegas... Justin Fields has better MVP odds than Russell Wilson does.
Wow.
Think about that. Sitting here this morning, Justin Fields has better MVP odds than Russell Wilson.
Even though we know Russ is the starter.
Even though they've called Russ the starter.
And guess what? They have two quarterbacks that have MVP odds versus a week ago where you couldn't even come close to naming a starting quarterback on that team. This is Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. It's basically a Steelers celebration show today, I think is what we've had, and they deserve it, as well as, of course, the NCAA tournament. Get the Tournament Challenge app, fill out your bracket, join the ESPN Radio men's and women's groups to play against us, and continue to tweet us your screenshots at UnsportsESPN. When you fill out the bracket, let's see your final four. Send to us at Unsports ESPN. This was a massive NFL weekend. We're just talking about the biggest of moves. There were a lot of other moves. We will get to that coming up. But first, CC has this from Granger.
Yes, for the ones who get it done. Granger offers high quality supplies and solutions for...
to fit your individual needs. That's right.
Day.
Granger.com for more information, where, of course, Granger is out there, and they can get everything done for you with all of their high-quality solutions, all products. You can find things you need, solve problem-solving, everything that there is with Granger out there.
Call clickgranger.com or just stop by Granger for the ones who get it done.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
For the ones who get it done, Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
We are Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance, making it easy to save money when you bundle your auto policy with home, condo, or renters. You'll earn a multi-policy discount. Easy to bundle, easy to save. Visit progressive.com for more information. I know the NCAA tournament is going on, and we've been talking about it. We will continue to talk about it. Of course, download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app to fill out your brackets. Join the ESPN Radio men's and women's groups to play against us. Send us your screenshots of your filled-out brackets, your Final Four, at UnsportsESPN. This was one of the greatest NFL offseason weekends I've ever seen.
Pretty good.
Okay, so take all the Justin Fields stuff out. Let's do maybe draft style, if you want. Just pick another move that intrigued you this weekend. We can go around the room. Smalls, you want to start us off on this?
Well, for me, Aaron Donald retiring was certainly one of the marquee headlines emerging from the weekend. One of the best football players we'll ever see in our lifetime. I'll never forget being in St. Louis when he was drafted. And when he first came out to Rams Park, I'm talking minutes after this guy got on the field, people were losing their minds over his talent. And he lived up to every single bit of it. And just a hat tip to me on an incredible career for Aaron Donald.
Yeah, that's a good one. I mean, here's the thing. You can't compare him to any of the contemporaries because he was just that dominant of a defensive lineman. Like the only people that I would put him with are the all-time greats when it comes to defensive linemen, like the Bruce Smiths of the world. And for me, a guy that's on my Mount Rushmore, Reggie White. Like, I would have no issue comparing Aaron Donald to Reggie White just because Aaron Donald was just that type of dominant. I mean, nobody could block him, routinely doubled and triple-teamed, and yet he found a way to show up on the stat sheet. I mean, he's one of only three defensive players to win Defensive Player of the Year three times. So, I mean, this guy is an absolute game wrecker, and I felt like there was plenty of runway with his career. So to see him retire, you know, it was a him decision, and so I wish him all the best in whatever's next. But selfishly, I wanted to see this guy continue to play.
Oh, me too.
I mean, like, just seeing what he was able to do on the field, seeing how he used to train in the offseason with the knife fighting.
Oh, yeah.
It's incredible the kind of talent that Aaron Donald was. He was singular in his ability to dominate the game, especially when you consider his overall stature.
So is he on the Mount Rushmore for you then, if you're comparing him to guys who are
Reggie White is okay. Still the defensive lineman that I've got on my Mount Rushmore. Okay. Like, it's Reggie White there. But, I mean, Aaron Donald, I think it's not blasphemous to compare him to the Minister of Defense.
You said Thursday or Friday, I don't remember what day, we were talking about like hypothetical Super Bowl contenders outside of Kansas City after a week of free agency.
Yeah, that changed.
That's what I was getting. I thought about you this weekend when that happened because I thought you were right to put the Rams in there.
Yeah.
Outside looking in now.
I can't say that a guy that's dominant, still in the prime of his career, you lose him, that you're still going to be at the same level? Hell no.
No, yeah, I agree.
It's a major piece for them to lose.
All right, Aaron Donald off the board. CC, a move that intrigued you this weekend in the NFL outside of Justin Fields,
it's got to be the Minnesota Vikings trading for an extra first-round draft pick, right? Like, them being able to do the dance with the Houston Texans and add the number 23 overall pick. Like, to me, that was a good get for Minnesota because it feels like they're a team that's poised to try to move up to take a quarterback, right?
Yes.
And they're not going to be able to get at the big three because those guys are going to go off the board 1, 2, 3. But I think this is about the fourth best quarterback, and who that ends up being is yet to be determined. But I want to say it's probably going to be J.J. McCarthy. I think the Minnesota Vikings adding that extra first-round pick is a prelude to another move that they're going to make to try to get inside of the top 10 to get the fourth best quarterback in this year's class.
Yeah, they're loading up in their lane and wait. And it feels like J.J. McCarthy would be the guy that would be a fit for them. I could see Kevin O'Connell liking a J.J. McCarthy type quarterback, but it does feel like they are poised to make a move.
All right, I'm going to give you a team and two moves they made that I'm fascinated by this weekend. The Cleveland Browns. You talk about a confident head coach. Kevin Stefanski voluntarily hired a coach that arguably is better than him as an assistant in Mike Vrabel. Here's what's going to happen in the state of Ohio. Every possible thing that could go wrong for two organizations, the Cleveland Browns and Ohio State, will be everybody will be sitting there saying, well, you know, Vrabel's there. Vrabel could just drive to Columbus. Vrabel could take over for Stefanski. This is no slacker of a coach. This is a guy that we sat here and we thought the Philadelphia Eagles and Dallas Cowboys should consider right now. And he's like a special assistant. So kudos to Kevin Stefanski
saying, I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm comfortable if he made the decision. I'm comfortable with who I am, and I'm comfortable that all of the drama that's going to follow this. The other thing is, I need to do the Brian Windhorst meme here, and I need CC to back me up with a little note on something, a hypothetical note maybe, of what's going on with the quarterback position in Cleveland. So we know Deshaun Watson is supposed to be the guy. They bring in Jameis Winston. They have DTR, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, who everybody says they like. Did anyone notice they brought in Tyler Huntley yesterday?
Yeah.
Who was a pretty good backup for Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. So they have four guys now that they seemingly like?
Yeah. If you're
what do we need to think about?
If you're a Browns fan, what I'm reading into it ain't great. I mean, listen, the part that nobody is talking about this offseason is Deshaun Watson's shoulder surgery that ended his season on his throwing arm. If you have a quarterback that's in that situation and that hasn't played well in the 2 years he's been a part of your organization, it feels like Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski are hedging against the worst with Deshaun Watson by adding so much depth to the quarterback room. I mean, to be able to have four quarterbacks on your roster this time of year, it's not – I don't want to say it's anything to raise an eyebrow at, but it's who the four quarterbacks are,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Because those guys have so much experience in our league. You saw DTR start multiple games. You've seen Tyler Huntley play an extended stretch the last few years in Baltimore. We've seen Jameis Winston. So the fact that they have that type of experience and they prioritize that type of experience in their quarterback room at this time in the offseason, it just leads me to believe that they still have significant questions about what version of Deshaun Watson they're going to see in 2024.
But how could you not? How could you not, based on the body of work? Not only you haven't had anything that really makes you feel that comfortable in him, he's coming off an injury.
Yeah.
They went through a cycle of quarterbacks last year. If I'm Cleveland, I'm doing everything in my power to make sure that I have options at that position because I know that I have a team that is really well poised to compete in a lot of other areas. So I want to make sure that I have at least a couple options there.
Between Mike Vrabel and Kevin Stefanski, has any two people on a coaching staff had to deal with so many different starting quarterbacks over the last 3 years?
It's like, hey, he knows what I deal with.
Yeah, like, totally. I mean, it was what, four different starters totally. In Cleveland this year?
And
five different starters in Cleveland. I know Mike Vrabel over the last 3 years has been six different starters. So, I mean, like, it's just like, hey, between the two of them, you've got double-digit starting quarterbacks that they've had to deal with over the last several years. It's crazy.
You may have indirectly answered your own question from moments ago when you said, I'm not sure, despite loving what Pittsburgh did, I'm not sure if it changes my outlook on where they place in the division. Well, if the Cleveland Browns moves, if we're reading into it, are we actually don't have a quarterback, so we need a lot of quarterbacks, maybe that's where you're saying. Maybe Pittsburgh jumps Cleveland. Just throwing that out there, that if they don't have healthy quarterback play and they're relying on Jameis Winston, which not somebody you want to rely on. Like, I'd rather have Tyler Huntley than Jameis Winston.
Sure,
but that may be the answer.
But in the AFC, the ceiling's probably about the same, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like if Russell Wilson is the starting quarterback for you and Deshaun Watson, Jameis Winston, Tyler Huntley's the starting quarterback in Cleveland, it's going to be a wild card round loss. That's what it feels like.
It shouldn't be based on the salary, right, with one of those guys. Deshaun Watson is not paid to lose in the wild card. That's for sure. All right, Damian Woody's going to join us coming up. But first, CC has this from Grainger.
Yes, for the ones who get it done, like us with this Grainger read during this break. Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
What an NFL weekend. Oh my God. Like, this was one of the best offseason weekends we've seen in a while.
Pretty
with
good.
All the moves that happened.
Pretty good.
I'm now convinced the NFL, Damian Woody is here, by the way, ESPN NFL analyst. I'm convinced the NFL is like, hey, we need things happening. College basketball is going to be popping this weekend with the selection show. Do your job, NFL.
And of course.
And the Steelers and Bears did that. Damian, your initial reaction to the Justin Fields trade?
I mean, it was expected. We've been kind of talking about it. It seemed like ad nauseum for so long with the whole Justin Field, Pittsburgh Steelers. And for me, I love the fit. I just so much about these young quarterbacks. We talk about if they're going to be successful in this league is all about the culture and the structure they go into determines whether they're going to be successful or not. And so for me, Justin Fields going to Pittsburgh, playing in that storied organization with the stability they have from the top down, playing for Mike Tomlin, Arthur Smith, the offensive coordinator. I think his system fits his, Justin Fields' skill set as a quarterback. And listen, I know that, Mike Tomlin came out and said that Russell Wilson is going to be his starter.
Mm.
But listen, last time I checked, Russell Wilson's on a one-year deal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's on a one-year deal. And Russell Wilson's not one of these guys that we would say is a guy that should be locked in as a starter. Yeah, he may be anointed, but if I'm Justin Fields, I'm going to that thing. I'm going to go compete. Isn't that what Mike Tomlin talks about all the time?
Yeah.
Competing, right? Yeah. I think that
apparently Justin, that's why Kenny Pickett's no longer there.
That's right. He didn't want, right. That's that's the flip side. He didn't want to compete, which I found so odd. Like, you didn't want to compete with Russell Wilson? Like, that felt so strange to me. But like I said, just getting back to Justin Fields, I think this is a great situation for him.
So what does this make the Pittsburgh Steelers now with the moves that they made last week at their quarterback room? What are the Pittsburgh Steelers in 2024?
In my opinion, they've definitely upgraded the quarterback room.
Yep.
This is a team that was 10-7 with terrible quarterback play last year. Let's be honest. Their quarterback play was some of the worst quarterback play in the National Football League, and they found themselves 10-7 and making the postseason. And so now you have Russell Wilson who, listen, you look at last year and what he did with the Denver Broncos. It wasn't as bad as what people thought. I thought he had a solid job. He just didn't play. He didn't quarterback the team the way that Sean Payton wants his quarterbacks to play. And I think just being in Pittsburgh, playing in that scheme, I keep going back to this name, Ryan Tannehill. If he can be Ryan Tannehill from the Tennessee days, when Ryan Tannehill was actually one of the best quarterbacks in the league, playing in that Arthur Smith
system.
They
got to a conference championship game.
That's right. They were a number one seed with Ryan Tannehill at quarterback and Arthur Smith as the play caller. So, listen, I think that the quarterback room is in much better situation. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, they're in a tough division, but it's Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
They're going to battle with Cincinnati and Baltimore in that division.
Part of me from the Chicago side of this looks at it as you needed to move on from Justin Fields before you bring in the new quarterback. You said you wanted to do right by him.
Yep.
This landing spot certainly indicates that you did. But you got a sixth round pick back that could turn into a fourth.
Yeah.
What do you make of the way that they handled this trade and what they got in return?
Well, I think number one, Chicago probably misjudged the market for Justin Fields. Clearly, we've seen what these quarterbacks are going for, starting with Mac Jones going – what Mac Jones go for?
Six round pick.
Okay, and then, Justin Fields going for what he went for. And so I think the Chicago Bears are saying, listen, we don't want to continue to hang on to him. Although you could look on the flip side and say, if we hang on to Justin Fields, maybe going into training camp when injuries inevitably starts happening – you really have your highest leverage at that point.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Chicago just said, you know what? We don't want the distraction of Justin Fields and the presumptive, whoever, Caleb Williams probably be the number one pick. We don't want those two guys in there and then we creating a distraction where media can jump all over the situation. We'd rather cut our losses, move on, and everyone goes about their merry business.
Mm-hmm. We're talking with Damian Woody here on Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. You mentioned Arthur Smith and Ryan Tannehill. The guy they reported to back in the day was your former teammate Mike Vrabel.
Yes.
Now with the Cleveland Browns, what do you make of that move?
I the Cleveland Browns do a lot of things outside the box that I love. Like, Mike Vrabel was a coach of the year. Mike Vrabel, in my opinion, is still one of the best coaches that we have in the National Football League. And so to be able to be a consultant as another pair of eyes in this organization, for an organization that got to the playoffs last year behind Joe Flacco, I love the move. I do. I love it for Cleveland.
I got to ask you this because it kind of fell in the Friday afternoon news dump.
Yeah, of course.
But the Minnesota Vikings,
yes,
they traded a second-round pick this year, a second-round pick next year, and I think a sixth-round pick this year as well in order to get the number 23 overall pick from the Houston Texans. Now they're at 11 and they're at 23. What did you make of that move?
Trade up. That's what the first thing I thought was, you need ammo to go up and get a quarterback. We've been talking about, okay, you know, the first three teams are probably going to pick quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're hearing noise about J.J. McCarthy probably, you know, possibly being a top five pick. Well, if you're Minnesota, you're probably going to be battling with the Las Vegas Raiders because they're another team that you're looking at saying they could possibly try to trade up to go get a quarterback as well. So I looked at it as getting more ammunition for a possible move up, whether it be the top 10 or possibly in the top five to go get your quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Another move that happened, excuse me, over the weekend, Aaron Donald of the Rams announces his retirement. The Rams are an interesting team. They were a feisty team last year. They were a team a lot of people were paying attention to heading into this year. How does removing Aaron Donald from that equation impact them?
Well, I mean, Aaron Donald was a first-team All-Pro last year. He had a great year last year. So obviously you remove him from the equation. That definitely takes a hit to your defense. He's, you know, one of, if not the most dominant interior defensive lineman that we've ever seen in that play in the National Football League. So, you know, you just don't replace a guy like that. But I said after the season, the Rams were ahead of schedule. No one predicted the Rams to be a team that, you know, was able to play the way they played. And they played a lot of young guys, a lot of guys that they, you know, in the later rounds that they had to draft and develop. And those guys played well. You know, Puka Nacua, like all those young guys played well. And so now they get their first round draft pick back. So they'll be drafting the first round. And so I look at the Rams as another intriguing team. Matthew Stafford was pretty much healthy and played well last year. So I think the Rams will be, you know, one of these NFC teams in the mix as well.
And they got Jimmy G now to back up Matthew Stafford after the first two games with the suspension there. Another big move from over the weekend. It doesn't seem like the Jets are going to have the vice president, but they will have Tyron Smith.
Yeah.
They get him from the Cowboys.
Yeah.
If we didn't have all the drama around the Jets, just from a football perspective, this is what they need, correct?
Yeah, listen, you know, going into the offseason, everyone thought, okay, the Jets probably need about three new starting offensive linemen. That was their primary issue last year, their inability to protect the quarterback. And they did. They addressed that. I didn't even think they were going to, you know, be able to get Tyron Smith for the deal that they got him with. And listen, everyone talks about, you know, his inability. You know, he's missed a lot of games over the past few years. And rightfully, you know, and that's a fact. But we also can't dismiss Tyron Smith was all pro last year.
Yeah.
He was all pro. Like, he was still one of the best, you know, tackles in the game of football. So I think that, you know, we got to give credit to GM Joe Douglas for addressing the offensive line. And they'll continue to add to it. I think what it does is, you know, the Jets sit at number 10. Now they have flexibility. They can still go out there, draft another lineman, or they could go tight end, wide receiver. Now it opens everything up for this Jets team.
Now, Damian, the team that Tyron Smith came from, the Dallas Cowboys, have been a little bit slow to go when it comes to free agency. They did sign Eric Kendricks last week. I thought that was a sound move, but really not a whole lot of improvements. They moved on from Michael Gallup and Leighton Van Der Esch this weekend. What do you make of what the Dallas Cowboys have been doing through the first week of free agency?
This is really – they've been Cowboys-like, if you think about it. The Cowboys don't usually jump into the foray of free agency, especially not the big fish. That's really haven't been their MO for quite some time. They've been a team that they depend heavily on the draft and develop, and that's why they've been a talented team. That's why they actually are in a situation where – you know, all of their issues is re-signing their own guys. Yeah. Like, they got to get Dak Prescott done. They got to get, you know, CeeDee Lamb done. And then, obviously, Michael Parsons is a guy that's going to, you know, figure into the equation as well. But, you know, I've told, you know, so many people, we're still early in the offseason. There's still, like, you can make trades. There are going to be, inevitably, there are going to be more guys that's going to shake free. You know, we always talk about June.
Yeah.
June 1st yeah. cuts and all those type of things. Training camp.
Yeah.
So there's still a lot of run. There's still a lot of runway left for the Dallas Cowboys to address this.
And, Damian, I wanted to ask you about it because there is a little bit of that philosophy in the Dallas Cowboys have in terms of making sure that they hedge toward the future, maintaining a good salary cap beyond the upcoming season, maintaining enough working draft capital beyond this upcoming season. Can you really afford to do that when you're trying to win with a good to really good quarterback? Because if you don't have an elite quarterback, don't you have to go for it all in that one season, kind of like what we saw from the Rams, the bleep them picks?
Yeah.
Don't you have, like, if you're trying to win it all with a good to really good quarterback and not an elite quarterback, can you actually hedge towards your future?
Listen, I think if we're going to take Jerry at his words, right, like, have they really pushed their chips all the way in?
Doesn't feel like
it. Right. It doesn't seem that way right now. Like, you could literally, you know, take your draft capital and trade for veterans that could help you right now. If you truly want to be all in, we've seen a team in your division say, we're going all in. You know, the Philadelphia Eagles, when they traded for A.J. Brown, that was a move to go all in. When they signed Saquon Barkley, that's a move to go all in. We've seen it with San Francisco, trade for Christian McCaffrey. That was going all in. So I think for me, it's just like I'm waiting for the Dallas Cowboys to – where is that signature? Okay, we're all in right now. Like, we're all in to go try to win this chip right now.
There's no evidence of that at all in any way, shape, or form. And you're 1,000% right. Damian Woody, you'll see him on Get Up at 8 a.m. Eastern on ESPN. Coming up, I'm over it on Unsportsmanlike. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yes, each and every day at this time, Pat Costello, our producer, gives us items around sports, entertainment, his life that is over, which does not include the ESPN Tournament Challenge, where you can fill out the app or go to the app, fill out your brackets, join us on the men's and women's side, and play against us with the ESPN Tournament Challenge. Pat, what do you have for us today?
How did the Chicago Bears keep getting this so wrong? Like, I feel terrible for Chicago Bears fans because this is just a complete dumpster fire. Like, why should I have any confidence that Caleb Williams is going to come in there and not fall into the same place that Justin Fields was? I have no faith that they're not going to completely ruin Caleb Williams.
You have every right to say that. The counter is a ridiculous counter, but the counter would be Joe Burrow and CJ Stroud, who in essence went into the same kinds of situations and made something out of nothing in a big way. That's a ridiculous counter, Pat. I understand that, but that's probably where Bears fans should go right now.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence too, right?
Trevor Lawrence too. So three players in the last 4 or 5 years have had the exact same, I'm walking into the dumpster fire, I'm bringing the extinguisher, I'm going to rebuild the whole thing, and we're going to live in a mansion sooner rather than later.
Yeah, but I guess the problem with that is you're relying on the quarterback to be the savior versus doing what most stable franchises do, which is put the infrastructure in place to get the most out of your quarterback, the most out of the people that you put in the building.
But the Bears have been making some smart moves to hopefully improve that infrastructure for this new quarterback.
I totally agree with that. Totally agree with that. Next one, Pat.
I don't, real quick, you guys have faith that Caleb Williams is going to go in there and they're not going to destroy him?
I didn't say that.
Nope, nobody said that. Nobody said that.
I'm saying they've done better than they have in years past at assembling the infrastructure before the quarterback comes in. That doesn't mean that it's going to work out.
That's exactly right. I think what we're saying is DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Cole Kmet, a running game, two bookend tackles, and also the ninth pick in the draft. That's, I think, what we're saying. Next one.
I hate parents who name their child something without the intent of calling their child that thing.
You mean that name?
Giving them a name like something junior, like it would be like Chris Canty Jr., but we call him Deuce, something like that.
Or when it's like, we're going to name him Christopher Michael Canty, and then we're going to call him Mike. It's like, just name him Mike. Why are you naming him something that you're never going to call him? It's insane to me. There's so many people who do this, and I don't get it. Just name the kid the thing that you're going to call them.
I agree in theory. In practice, there's a lot of people who think they have a say over your kid's names. Well, you got to name your kid this after so-and-so or because of this or whatever it is. You got to fight off that.
But why should they have any say?
They should not.
They didn't help make the kid.
I agree. Well, that would be weird.
Exactly. That's my point. Why should they have any say? Why do they have a seat at the table in terms of what we name our kid?
They do not.
That should not matter.
But sometimes I think with a name, you may want to give a nod to your family. So if you like the name Mike, but you're Christopher or your dad was Christopher, maybe you want to have it as a family name, but you find a way to work in the Michael so you can ultimately call him Mike.
So what we're saying is there's a bunch of narcissists in the family, and that's why we have to put a bunch of names into the kid's handle that shouldn't otherwise be there because you don't want to call the kid that.
Maybe.
Do I got that about right, Pat?
Yeah, and then it just gets confusing. The kid goes to school, and they're like, is Mike here? Is Mike? And they're like, oh, I go by Chris. And everyone's like, what? That's a completely different name.
Right, that is a completely different name.
And who's the most famous player in USC men's basketball? Isn't that what you're saying? We have to call him Bronny? Because LeBron's like, I don't want to call him after me. Well, you named him your name.
But that's a nickname of his name.
But we call
him Ronnie.
Sure, but it's still a nickname of his first name, which I think is different than what Pat is saying, no?
Was he ever intended to be called LeBron?
No.
Right, that's the point.
You weren't going to call him LeBron.
Ever.
But it's
never.
Quite literally, never.
But it's not like his first name is Steve and they're calling him Bron.
Steve, I know, LeBron, but we just, James, and we're calling him Bronny.
It's kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I agree. It is kind of the same thing.
It's like if your whole beef is you're naming a kid something and your intention is never to call them that.
Yeah, it's different. Like if you call him Junior, then it's okay. It's LeBron James Jr. That's fine. But like you're not calling him LeBron. You're not calling him Junior. You're calling him Bronny. Like, they had the nickname before he was even born.
Like, I'm sure there are people that in your life that call you Christopher, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it when you're in trouble?
Yes. Somebody's calling me Christopher is a problem.
Okay.
Something has gone wrong.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If there's never anyone in your life that calls you by your given name, then
by your government name?
Right. Then why do you have that in general? I think that's what Pat's saying. Next one.
I don't like when you're watching a movie at home and you get shushed. I like to talk when I'm at home and watching a movie. I think it's okay. I'm a big conversation guy. Let's talk about what's going on here a little bit. I don't want to sit there in silence for 2 hours in my own home. If it's at a movie theater, it's different. But we can't talk when we're sitting on the couch?
No.
Why?
If I'm trying to follow along with the plot and you're over there yapping, that's going to annoy
me. Yeah, but I'm talking about what's the plot.
Yeah, but I can't multitask because I need to be able to focus on what's actually happening. You're talking, so I'm trying. You're trying to make me process what you're saying while I'm trying to focus on watching what's actually happening in a movie.
That's exactly
I'd be all bad at that, Pat. Like you would not want to sit and watch a movie with me at the crib. Like, it's just not going to work out.
You're not taking the SATs after. It's just we're watching a movie.
Yeah, but I mean, being able to focus is a part of the entertainment value. If it's a good movie, I want to lock in on it. I can't do that with you talking to me. It's why I don't invite people over to watch the Super Bowl or to watch the NBA Finals. It's because I can't focus on a damn game while they're doing all that yapping.
Exactly.
I can't do it. Credit to you. I mean, that just shows that you operate at a higher plane because you can talk and watch the movie at the same time. But us lesser minds aren't capable of doing that. And I don't think you should hold that against me because I can't get on your level with that.
Pat, question for
just
you.
Just saying.
Yes. Correct me if I'm wrong, not to get too personal here, but I believe you went and saw your parents this weekend. Is that correct? So this is one of your two parents that shushed you?
No, this didn't happen this weekend.
Oh, okay. All right. Because I'm just saying, in general, like when you're home, if you're home by yourself, do you talk about the movie out loud with no one there, Pat?
I have definitely yelled at a movie before by myself.
It's so obvious with Pat. Pat's sitting there by himself talking to the screen.
It's like yelling at the TV when something happens in sports.
Yeah.
I did do that yesterday.
I don't get into scary movies, but my wife loves horror movies.
Really?
And I will yell at the movie. Like, the people can hear me, like, why are you going in there?
Yeah.
Don't go down the stairs.
Yeah, I do.
Don't be curious in this situation. It's going to end bad for you. I ain't seen the damn movie, but I know that part.
Get out of the house. Yeah, what are you doing?
Exactly. I will do that. I will do that part of it. But it's not as if I'm talking to get the other person to respond.
Okay, so when I'm watching a movie with someone, if I want to talk about the movie, I'll say pause it for a second because we're at home, right?
Okay.
So pause it so that we can talk about it, then we'll resume.
That's the right move. If you feel like you have to talk about the movie, stop it. Because if you haven't seen the movie, you don't know if what's going to happen next is more important than what you want to talk about.
Right.
Because you haven't seen it yet.
Nah, but you know when those lulls come up in a movie that, like, you're like, all right,
well,
nothing's going to happen.
Well, then it's not a
good
movie. If you know that it's going to be voluntarily lull. Like, if you can predict a lull.
Yeah, no, but you've watched enough movies where you get the beats of a movie and you're like, all right, they're doing, like, the part where they have to drive somewhere, so I got a couple seconds here.
All right. Any other ones, Pat?
No, we got, like, 20 seconds left.
All right, I'm just asking. Yeah. Okay. All right, we do have the Tournament Challenge where you can download the ESPN app and the Tournament Challenge app to fill out your brackets. Join the ESPN Radio men's and women's groups to play against us, and you can screenshot your picks to us at Unsports ESPN. We're Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting LectricEbikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.